Thank you, Miss Pam, Brother Mike. Good song. That's very wonderful truths. And when it's true that you're in the presence of the Lord, there's nothing like that. There's nothing that can even come close to being in the presence of the Lord. Aren't you glad the Lord is here today and in this place? I want you to take your Bible to the book of Psalms. And turn to chapter 11 in the book of Psalms. I do appreciate them singing that song. I didn't ask them to do it, but it's going to dovetail into what God has put on my heart to preach this morning. God does that, and I'm grateful to Him for it. While you're turning, we've been asked to pray for several in our congregation, whether it's some of our church members or some family members. We've been asked to pray for their recovery. And if you noticed inside your bulletin today, there's a little bookmark that has a prayer guide on it. And this week, the week of November the 15th, we're praying for those who are suffering from COVID. We're praying that they would be healed, that they would be restored to health. We're praying for those who've lost loved ones, our family members, friends, and we're also praying that God would help Oklahoma Baptist to be able to come together without fear, to worship and do the various things that we do together, and then to pray for a solution to the pandemic. So put this in your Bible where you pray, and let me just go to the Lord in prayer right now, and let's lift one more prayer. I appreciate all of you praying with us over the boxes, and then Brother Ray led us to the throne of grace before we took up the offering. Let's pray God's healing on friends and family and God's touch in the lives of those that have lost loved ones. Let's bow for prayer now. Father, I just thank You that we can have this privilege. Lord, we come into Your presence, into the very throne room because of the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Father, for this great holy, holy experience of prayer. I pray over these, Lord, that have been mentioned. There are several people in our church family that have tested positive, that are ill this week. And Father, there's family members, there's friends all across this city and this county and adjacent cities and counties, Lord, that we know and we love and who also are sick. We pray for them. We pray a healing touch. We pray, Lord, that You would give them quick recovery. And Lord, I lift up those that have lost loved ones, whether it be from COVID or from something else. Just recently, Lord, I pray for Your peace in their life and Your comfort. Lord, I pray for Oklahoma Baptist that we'll be able to gather together for worship and for the things, Lord, that You've called us to do as Christians, as believers. Lord, help us to do it without fear. And then, Father, we do pray for a quick solution to this pandemic. Lord, thank You for hearing us. And we turn our attention now to Your Word. We pray, Lord, that You'd have a word, a special word for each of us today. Whatever it is, Father, put Your finger on our life. Help us to be strengthened and encouraged and challenged, even convicted today. And Lord, help us always to run to You, for You are our strength. You're our refuge. You're a very present help in a time of need. This is urgent times, Lord. Desperate times. Help us to be desperate, saints. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me read the chapter that you've opened up to there in Psalms 11. In the Lord put I my trust. How say you to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous, or test the righteous. But the wicked and him that love violence his soul hates. And upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. But this shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. Now, David is writing this, and in my opinion, while he is serving in Saul's court. Saul has heard the women singing, Saul has slain his thousands, David his ten thousands, and Saul has gotten very jealous and very envious of David, and his anger is boiling towards this young man whom God has anointed king already. And he runs David out of the room and throws a javelin at him as he's leaving. And David is living in a time of desperation in his own life and in the country. Whether Saul realizes it or not, God has already taken his kingship away and given it to this young man, David. And so David, I think, writes this as he is meditating and as he's praying over the situations in his life. And he's saying and reminding himself that when things around me crumble, when a nation seems to be crumbling, when my life seems to be faltering, I can run to God. I think those first few words in that first verse really says it all. I put my trust in the Lord. And if I was going to give this message a title, the title that I would give this message is A Psalm for the Steadfast. A Psalm for the Shaken. If you don't want to be faltering in your stability before the Lord, then remember that God is who you can trust in. God is the one you can run to. God is the one you need to call out to. And He will hear you and He will help you no matter what's going on in your life. In fact, if you look over at chapter 12, he goes on to say, "Help, Lord." In verse 1, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. For the faithful fail from among the children of men." And if you look at the last verse of chapter 12, he continues that thought and he said, "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." You can understand that in his time, there's a struggle going on. There's trouble going on. I think David must have lived in times that are familiar to our day. And so he asks the question in this text, what can the righteous do when the foundations are destroyed? What can we do if the foundations be destroyed? And the answer is, you can turn to Almighty God when the foundations crumble around it. You can turn to the timeless, eternal Word of God. You know, we're not supposed to duck and run whenever trouble comes our way. We're to put our trust in God. We're to look to God. He is our foundation and He is our strength. And as I've already said, a very present help in any time you have need. I'm telling you, any time that I have a struggle in my life, I go to God with it. I go to the Word of God. And you know something? There's always an answer for us if we'll go to the Lord and we'll go to the Word of God. There's never been a time when I didn't have a problem that God did not have an answer to the problem. Can I get an amen from anybody this morning? Has there been a time in your life when you've had a struggle that God didn't help you through it? God didn't sure you up through it. I tell you, I lay awake a week and a half ago just thinking about our world and the chaos and all the trouble that we are experiencing, even in our nation, not to mention what's going on in the rest of this world, the sickness, the problems in family, the chaos in politics, and the problem in our churches where, you know, it's a lukewarmness that's going on across this land in our churches, folks. I'm telling you, I have authority on that. There's a lukewarmness in many of our churches, and I'm laying awake and I'm asking God, God, I don't know what you're up to, but I want to be on your side. I want to stand in your camp, God. I want to hear a word from you. And I tell you what, God has begun to give me peace. Where it seems like there is no peace, God is giving me peace in my soul. And I tell you, He has an answer for any of our troubles. He has an answer for your problem today. And if the foundations seem to be crumbling and struggling and challenging times, you can go to God. You can go to His Word. So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Let me just back up just a moment and say that the foundations are the columns or the stones that anything is built on, right? It's the structure that's laid, and the deeper you dig a foundation, the more you put into that foundation, the stronger the structure is, right? The more stable the structure is. And so if the foundation stones are laid right, if they're made sure and they're made steady, then that'll help undergird whenever problems arise in our lives. Is everybody still with me this morning? The foundations. This nation, by the way, was founded on some very sure and strong stones that were laid to endure the tests and the trying times that a nation could go through. This nation was founded on godly principles. Can I get an amen? This nation was founded on morality and the rule of law. This nation was founded upon integrity, and it was founded on a system that they put together that was focused on the Creator, God, being the ruler, being the guide, being the helper. The foundation was laid sure and strong. The men that laid the foundation for this country knew politics from Babylon to Britain. They understood what it took to have a strong nation, a good nation. And so we find law and order in our nation. We find justice and truth in our nation. We find morality and decency in the laying the foundation stones of our nation. We find integrity and fairness and trustworthiness. You may say, well, Brother Joe, it seems like law and order is crumbling all around. It seems like we can't know what the truth is anymore. Brother Joe, it seems like decency and morality have been thrown to the wind, and integrity and fairness are a thing of the past. But I want you to know that the foundation stones were laid sure and strong. They're there. And so the belief that we've been endowed from a Creator with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, it's there. It is there in our Constitution, in our civil laws. And even though these things may be rejected and the quality of life that God intended for us to have is not there anymore, believe me, that principle still stands at the base of this nation. But not only is the nation built on those stones, on those foundations, but I'm telling you, this church has been built on a strong foundation today. This church has been founded on time-tested, true strength. It's been built on Jesus Christ. This ecclesiastical structure, this church, First Baptist Salisaw, has Jesus as the cornerstone and the prophets as the stones that are laid on Him and built upon Him, and on them is centuries of Christians, pastors, teachers, godly men and women. This didn't just happen. God has brought this about because He is in it. He is for it, and it will stand the test of time. If we'll go back to where the foundation was laid, I promise you, we'll understand there is hope. There is strength, and there is something that will last. And your family can be built on a strong foundation. A foundation in your home is laid with discipline, godly morality. It's built upon the Word of God and prayer. Your family. I don't know what your parents were like. I don't know what your grandparents were like, perhaps. You may not even know a whole lot about them either. But let me tell you something. You and I, is everybody listening to me right up here? You and I can start and lay the foundation right in our family today. You can start a new legacy. Some of you maybe are going to get married soon. You can start a new legacy. Some of you have been married for years. You can continue to lay the right kind of legacy into your children's life and your grandchildren's life. You can put the time-tested, time-honored foundation down with the Word of God, with Christian godly morality, with prayer, with truth. All of these things, honesty and discipline, laying the foundation right in your family. Hard work. Lay the foundation so that your family can be strong. But the psalmist says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation seems to be crumbling under our country, if the foundation seems to be crumbling under a church, if the foundation seems to be crumbling under a family, what can the righteous do? What can the best and the wisest in the world do? The following verses are the answer to the problem. The solution is in the text. He says in verses 4 through 7, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tries or tests the righteous, but the wicked and him that loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, He will rain down destruction, and that's just a portion of what they're going to get. But the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance upholds the upright. We can remember that the Lord reigns. The Lord still reigns. The Lord is in His holy temple. His eyes behold, His eyelids are trying the children of men. What does it mean that God is in His holy temple? It means that God is available. God is ready to listen to my need, no matter what it might be. Do you know that God has got His ears opened to those who will pray to Him in holiness and ask for His hand of righteousness to be upon them? God is listening. I was reading this morning in the Proverbs, and it said, the Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. You know, God's listening for you today. If it seems like there's a crack and a crumbling of what's been laid in a sure and tried and tested way, if it seems like things seem to be faltering, understand God has not left the building. He's available. He's listening. He's watching. By the way, He understands a lot better than us what's really going on. Amen or not? He's here. And He wants to hear from you. He delights in hearing from you. So if the civil foundations be destroyed, I'm not running from this. If it looks like the churches are starting to falter in our land, I'm not running from this. I'm not fleeing to the mountains. I'm not going to leave America unless God tells me to leave America. Amen? I don't care who the president is. I'm going to be right where God wants me to be. I don't care who the governor is. I'm going to stay right where God tells me to be. Are you with me today or not? I'm not running to the mountains, no matter what. I tell you, the law and the order may be all out of whack. The Justice Department may not know how to try some of the most smallest things. But I'm not running to the mountains. Why? Because God's on His throne. He's still in His holy temple, and I know He's available to hear my prayer. I can run to Him like a refuge. I'm running to God because that's where my security lies. How about you? I will run to Him and allow Him to work. Now I'm going to skip some things this morning that I intended to say, because I want to get to the solution. The solution for all of us today is this. If all earthly things fail, I want you to listen to me. I don't know what time it is, but I'm going to be done pretty quick here, all right? So y'all just keep listening. If all earthly things fail and the very society that we live in falls to pieces, do you know what we're supposed to do? We pray. We pray. Like David said in verse 1 of chapter 12, help, Lord. You know, sometimes simple prayers are the best prayers. Are y'all with me? Some of the best prayers in all of Scripture are prayers like, search me, O God. Help me. Save me. Show me. Some of the best prayers in all of Scripture are just simple prayers. You don't have to be complex with God. Just tell Him what's on your heart. God, I need you right now. Like I've never needed you before. Whenever everything seems to be falling apart, pray. I like what William Grunel said. He said, sinning times have ever been the saints' praying times. He went on to say this, indeed, sometimes sin comes to such a height that is almost all the godly can do to get into a corner and bewail the general pollutions of the age. Such dismal days of national confusion our eyes have seen. So what can the righteous do? He said, the righteous can fast, pray, because there's still a God in heaven to be sought. What else can we do? We can turn to God. He said, in the Lord I take my refuge. Trust the promises of God. This means we place our confidence in God and become attentive to His voice. When you and I place our trust in Him, whatever He says in His Word will bring hope and stability and direction to our lives. I'm telling you, folks, in times like these, we need to get back to the anchor, the foundation of our life, the Word of God. What can we do? The solution is we don't run. David said, how can I say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? Instead of trying to run away from our troubles, running away from your difficulties are not going to help, are they? They're still going to be there. He's saying, go to the one who's all-powerful, all-knowing, who's well acquainted with our struggles. And you'll find refuge. I was going over some notes that I've had for several years and restudying this text. And I clicked on Charles Stanley's preaching of this passage. And I wrote down, I want to quote him. He said, in relationship to this, God loves us and intends for us to stand strong, firm, and true in the midst of hardship, suffering, and loss, knowing that He is trustworthy. The foundations of our physical world may crumble. We may lose every possession we own, but even the Lord is sufficient to carry us through, end quote. I'm telling you, God is who we run to. And how does God respond? God places you under His divine protection. You know that no enemy can take you out sooner than God is ready for you to go? How many of you believe that? And no friend could keep you any longer than God intends for you to stay. You're under the divine protection of God when you say, God, I need you. I'm with you. God, I'm running to you. God says, okay, come here. And like a chicken brooding over her little chicklets, He protects you under His wings. Another great psalm. What else does God do? He continues to be 100% available. 100% available. In verse 4, the Lord is in His holy temple. Nothing is beyond His control. Nothing is out of His reach. You know that God doesn't look down at our situation and go, oops, I really didn't know that was coming. You know, God doesn't have any surprises. Are y'all with me this morning? Nothing surprises God. It's good to know that He's 100% available. And He sees everything going on. Here's the truth of the matter, folks, and I'm finishing up. You and I see wicked things. And you've seen some wicked things in your life. Some of you have been around a little longer than the rest of us. You've seen some stuff, haven't you? Did you know that God won't let any of that go unpunished? He sees. And He says, I'm testing the righteous. Sometimes the tests are not easy, are they? Sometimes the tests are tough. He says, I'm testing the righteous, but the wicked, I judge. I punish. Don't ever think anybody's getting away with evil. Don't ever think anybody can sweep evil under the rug and it goes away with God. Are you listening to me this morning? God sees and God will judge accordingly. Don't ever think He won't. Now, they may get it in this lifetime, or they may get it in the next. Matter of fact, He says, a portion of their judgment is hell, fire, and brimstone. That's just a portion of it. We ought to pity people that think they're getting away with doing things that are against God and against His laws. Whether it be in our country, whether it be in a church, or whether it be in our family, or in this our culture that we live in around us, God sees and God knows. And I promise you, one of these days, He'll take care of all of it. He will. So, what should be our response to all of this? We need to always trust God. Always. Don't ever alter and trust in God. He's up to something. Just get on His side. Get in on what He's doing. Trust God, no matter the circumstances. There could be some of us here that need to seek personal cleansing from God today. That needs to be your response. God, forgive me for things that I've done. The third thing, we need to encourage one another around us in times like these, especially lost people. You know what you need to do? You need to say to lost people, hey, God reigns. and Jesus Christ saves. Encourage them. Encourage saved people that have lost sight and lost focus of what God's able to do. And then fourthly and finally, we ought to seek God for revival. We ought to enjoin each other in asking God to bring revival. Every time in history where I've read about it, where God has brought revival, it's in the darkest times. It's in those most bleak times in a nation or in a people. Sometimes it's out of great disasters that God has brought revival. Do you know what we need to do? We need to pray. Look right up here. We need to pray, God, no matter what it takes, God, no matter what you have to do, will you bring revival? Are you willing to pray that? God, will you bring us back to where you are our all in all? Whatever it takes, God, will you bring revival and start with me? How many of us are willing to pray that today? God, just bring revival to our land. Bring revival to our church, Lord, whatever it takes. Now, here's what I'm going to ask us to do this morning. I'm going to ask Miss Dana to slip up and those that are playing, slip up, and we're just going to play just for a moment. And our heads are going to be bowed. I'm going to ask you to pray for people around you right now. Maybe it's your wife or your husband or your children that are close by. I'm going to ask you to pray. You can stand with me. And just maybe you want to take somebody's hand and just pray for them. Pray that they will trust God no matter what. No matter what the circumstances. Maybe you need to slide over. I know this is the time we social distance and all that stuff. But you can wash your hands after you get done with this. Just reach over and grab somebody. Slide over and take somebody's hand and say, God, help them to trust you no matter the circumstance. It could be that you yourself need to say, Lord, cleanse me. Make me clean. Here's the final thing I want you to do. I want you to pray that God would bring revival to our church, to my life. Lord, bring revival in me. And Lord, bring revival to our land. No matter what it takes, Lord, we want you to wake us up. If it means shaking us up. Lord, I pray as people are praying all over this building right now. I pray, Lord, for each other. I pray for your name to be glorified in this place and among the nations, Lord. Will you be glorified? I pray, Father, that the gospel would go out. Lord, that we'll take it with us as we go out of this place. And we will be a light to people and salt to people. God, I pray for our country, what a great land we live in. Lord, I still believe this is the best place on the planet, no matter what. Lord, but I do see the crumbling of some of the foundation stones that have been laid. And I pray, Lord, that we could be renewed, that we could be revived as a nation, that our leaders will look to you, listen to you, follow you. I pray, Lord, that people in our land that have strayed, and God, we become wicked in our land. I pray, Lord, that our wicked ways will be confessed and that we'll come back to you. And Lord, that you will heal us. Lord, if you need to shake us even more than COVID has shaken us, or anything else, Lord, shake us. Get our attention. Lord, help us to trust, turn, and follow you. If the foundations be destroyed, Lord, help us to know the solution. Run to you. Call out to you. Get back to what you want us to do and who you want us to be. God, I thank you in Jesus' name. And you may continue praying for those around you with your head bowed. Miss Dana, just go ahead and begin to sing. This is the air I breathe. If you need to come get in this altar, you need me to pray for you, you come.